me make sure I have the right page here. Yep. Harry and I went to the movies last week. We went to see Rocket Man. Maybe some of the others of you have seen Rocket Man or intend to. It's the new movie about Elton John. Be warned, it is an adult movie. No doubt about that. But it does have more than 40 pieces, not of silver, but of music, sprinkled through it, most of which are Elton John hits. So that's pretty nice. That's kind of good stuff. But the story in the movie is not really about music. It's about a boy growing up in a family that doesn't know or show love. So this boy, whom we come to know as Elton John, this boy, a sensitive and talented boy, grows up starved for love. And the movie shows how he seeks love and acceptance in all the wrong places. It's a different song, but you know what I mean by that. He looks for love and acceptance in all the wrong places, and maybe occasionally in some of the right places. But you watch him throughout his life looking for the love that he needs. And you may then come away, as Harry and I did, reminded of how very important, how absolutely crucial it is for children, and really for all of us, to know and experience love. Because we don't all have a dad that will write a lullaby for us before we're even born. We don't always have that kind of experience. But it is crucial for us to know and experience love, to know that promises can be trusted, and to know that you can count on family. Sometimes family is more than the bloodline. Sometimes family includes friends or a church or adopted folks who take you in and promise to keep their promises and to love you. Well, as it's Father's Day, I pulled out a small book that our daughter Rachel gave to Harry some years ago. It's a book called Dadisms. I thought these dadisms would be just the thing for today, and I would share one or more of these with you, but it turns out the dadisms are really pretty cynical. So that's not very helpful. Look how far I got into the book till I found one I really like. So here's something a dad might say, a dadism. Go ahead, I'll catch you. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever say that? Yeah. Maybe a big brother. You know, maybe a dad. Here's what they say about this dadism. There comes a time in every child's life when she has to take a leap of faith and jump into dad's arms from the side of the pool, from the high bar of a swing set, or the top of a garden wall. Reassured by dad's confident words, the child lets go and trusts that dad will be there with open arms and an unfailing grasp. And he is there. Then they go on to say, then there are those smart aleck dads who pretend to drop the poor kid within inches of the ground. Yeah. And we wonder why so many people are in therapy, they say. But what I like is that dad was there. I was blessed to have a dad like that, who was there. I remember his tears. I remember his hugs. Well, here in Romans 5, the Apostle Paul says that people of faith can have a real peace with God. And today, my friends, is Trinity Sunday, so we know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last week, the coming of the Holy Spirit brings it full circle. God, whom we know as Creator in other ways, and the Son Jesus, who gave himself for us on the cross, and the Holy Spirit, who comes to us with fire. we have real peace with God. And the real peace we have with God comes as a result of our faith. Faith that tells us we can count on God, that we can know that God fulfills promises. And it's true, I believe. No matter what others say or do, no matter what happens to us or around us, we can believe in God's promises. And that, my friends, gives us the deep and real peace that directs our lives, that anchors us, that helps us to know who we are, because we know who God is. So a professor of theology in Chicago, Linda Thomas, warns us that, talking about that we have this peace with God, we don't get peace in a simple, easy way, she says. It'd be nice if we did. If peace came all wrapped up and it was easy for us, it was simple. But she says, rather, having a deep peace is like a verb. Not sure which part of that is the verb. That peace, I guess. It's more often, she says, like a blood, sweat, and tears process that requires an active cultivation of our relationship with God. So Dr. Thomas says each of us must make a decision to seek peace, to seek a real peace with God and a real peace with our neighbor. Well, how do we do that? How do we seek that deep peace with God and neighbor if it comes to us to do it, not just to receive it, but to work on it, to nurture it? Well, you each have your own way of doing this, and I know you and I trust you that you are already working on this relationship with God. Perhaps it's your sincere practice of prayer that is a daily practice. It's an hourly practice. It wraps itself through your lives like fabrics woven through a tapestry, the practice of prayer. It may be your daily study of Scripture. As you read the Psalms, as you read from the Old Testament, as you read the New Testament, as you look to how we follow the example of Jesus by studying the Scripture. It may be your faithful participation in worship, even though the door may say, "Do not enter." You find a way to come and be at worship with your community. Or perhaps it's a faithful permission in a participation in a small group where you find you can be open and honest and even vulnerable, but trusting others to be open and honest and vulnerable with you as well. Or maybe it has to do with a determination you have developed in yourself to be a person of kindness and forgiveness, to be determined not to harbor resentment or bitterness. Because that's the reason for forgiveness, isn't it? To put aside bitterness and to let yourself live a clean and whole life, a life of grace. It's not an easy way to live, deciding to be a person of kindness and forgiveness, but it's worthwhile and it becomes a model for people around you, people who depend on you, your family, your friends, your community. There are lots of ways to work at and deepen our relationship with God, and each of you will and does choose your own way, perhaps several ways, several things that you work on. But whatever you choose, I believe you will find challenges in your path in that blood, sweat, and tears process that Dr. Thomas described. You will find challenges as you try to live a life of peace. And you will grow as you face those challenges and that hardship, no matter how it comes out. Which leads us back to Paul's words. I don't think there's a single person in this room who has not suffered, who does not know what Paul is describing here in Romans 5. That suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and that character produces hope. Doesn't always feel that way, does it? At the suffering stage. And yet, as we go through the process life brings, with faith as our guide and God's promises there before us, we can find that hope. We come to it. Some of you are survivors of cancer or stroke or injuries from war, auto accident, or a fall. Some of you have been through broken relationships or even painful divorces or estrangements with children or parents. Some of you have lost a parent or lost a spouse or lost a child. Some of you may have actually committed a crime or an act of unfaithfulness that brings you the suffering of guilt. So all of you, and I too, know the truth of these words about suffering and endurance and character and hope. So I thought that I would invite us to turn again to that newsletter, to that litany, and look at the underlined words. Typical of me, I decided to make this an intelligence test, an IQ test, right? See if we can do this. What I want us to do is just read the underlined words. And I figured I would read the first phrase so you'd see what I was doing. And then we'll do a men-women thing. That's tricky, right? Okay, so the men then would read the second underlined phrase, which is what?
We boast
in our hope. We boast in our hope. And then the women will pick up.
We also boast in our suffering.
Okay, all right, so now you got it. So then men will do it one word, women one word, men one word. Can you find it? And then at the end, there's a kind of a long sentence there, because God's love has been poured. We'll all do that together, okay? And if anybody goofs, it's okay. So if you're a man and read a woman's part, or a woman and reads a man's part, who cares? We are not the underlining police in this place. But this is some of the truth of Romans 5 that I want us to pick up and hold on to today in our worship. So I will begin. We have peace.
We boast in our hope.
We also boast in our sufferings. Endurance. Hope. And hope. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God gives us the peace because God fulfills the promises and we can find hope. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the scripture that shows us the grace of Jesus Christ and implants it in our hearts like seeds or plants in a garden, that we might flourish and grow and open and bloom and receive the sunlight and give off the fragrance that is faith. We offer you our sufferings. We receive from you our hope. In Christ we pray. Amen.